Okay, let's finally learn something. Okay, over here we're learning Mizmor Mem Hei. Mizmor Mem Hei, Rochash, Rav the Pasuk Beis, Rochash Livi Dovar Toiv. I think it's Hashgacha Pradis that today we're learning Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Yesterday we're still Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Someone, what is the word Cheshvan? What's the word Cheshvan mean? So it's not, I don't know, it must be about. It must be Mar, the bitter. Mar is in a prefix. It's because there are no chagim in the festival of Tamar for you. Give it to your father. There are no festivals in the Chodesh of Cheshvan, and therefore we append to Cheshvan Mar. It's bitter. It's bitter because there's nothing to celebrate. Okay, ultimately, when Mashiach will come. So there's a tradition that the Bayis Shalishi will be inaugurated in Chodesh Cheshvan. There is such a tradition. What that means exactly, how you can reconcile that with other Mamari Chazal, which seem to indicate that's not correct. It will be inaugurated at other times of the year. Okay, that's another story. But in any event, it's a Babylonian name. It probably refers to some idol, for all we know. Cheshvan. I'm not sure which, whatever, I don't know, but Chazal look at the word Cheshvan, they connect it to the word Rochash. Merachashon Sifvose. Your lips are murmuring. And the way it's interpreted by many, I saw this in a number of places, is that after Chodesh Tishrei, the impression, you go to a wedding of a child, a grandchild, something you're very close to, the flashbacks. You have flashbacks for a long time. Okay, you have a wonderful experience. That's what happens for the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You keep on thinking back to those positive, inspirational moments. Okay, so you can't, the person goes to a wedding the next day. No, you don't have flashbacks of what happened the night before. If you go to an experience that is inspiring. Likewise, on Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh El, you daven, you say Slichos, and you have beautiful davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. So the experience, the spiritual experience of Chodesh Tishrei, it stays with you, and your lips keep on murmuring for a whole month. So even though the word Cheshvan probably refers to some type of Avodah Zarah, that was coined by the Babylonians, and for whatever reason we took those names of the months, we took it with us out of Babel to return to we came back to Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Bayesheni, and for whatever the reason is, the names, these secular names of the month that were coined, minted in Babel, it became part of our lexicon. But Chazal, in their way, which is very, very common, we can't do this today. No one's going to say today in English that money means, you'll have some convoluted type of expression. Okay, we don't do this today and go take the language that we use today and look into the languages and try to find some depth. But Chazal, back 2,000 years ago, were on a very different, exalted spiritual level. The world was a different place that we really can't relate to. And Chazal did see in terms that really are secular, and even worse, it's rooted in Avodah Zarah. They did see in these words expressions that Hashgacha Pratis that allude to spiritual matters. And one classic example of that is Chodesh Cheshvan. Chodesh Cheshvan, it's a secular term, cannot be otherwise. Yet Chazal say Cheshvan, it comes, we when we look at it, we look at it from the word, this word over here, the Pasuk Beis, Rochash. Merachashon sif vose. That's a separate principle. You append mar. Mar is not part of the name of the month. Right, that's a big topic. When did I get mar? Because there are no festivals. Every single chodesh.
I understand, but when that label got
appended, yeah. I don't know. The Sfar of what?
The
Teimonim also went to Bavel. Everyone went to Bavel. The Teimonim just, they went after the Churban Bayis Sheni. What's unique about the Teimonim is after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they went to Teimon, and it's been 2,000 years and never left.
They didn't want to go back
They didn't want to go back with Ezra. I don't know. I really don't know. It could be also that Bavel's influence, Nebuchadnezzar, ruled the world. So even though maybe, you know, like today, English, in every single country today, in every there's no country in the world. No, it's not about Thanksgiving. Every single country in the world, they speak English. They
send us many places?
No, that was Sancheirif. That was 200 years before. When Sancheirif exiled the Aseret HaShvatim, Ashur, they went to Ashur. That was the Aseret HaShvatim, but Nebuchadnezzar, no, Nebuchadnezzar didn't seem to send us all over the world. Nebuchadnezzar killed, what do they say, 4 or 5 million people? He murdered, I'm not sure the exact number, something like that. He murdered 4 million people, a Holocaust, an unbelievable Holocaust, and everyone else he took with him to Babel, Babylonia. They went to Babel, and I mean, there was a big, you know, it's very complicated, obviously, because some went to Egypt, many people, they escaped to Egypt. And some people, they held out Beitar. It wasn't a clean sweep, it was a very long process of exile. But many people ended up in Babel, Babylonia, and they didn't come back. And very quickly, it seems not very quickly, the Babylonians, they appreciate who these people...
What is Babylonia today?
Iran and Iraq. It's in between.
Iran is Persia,
but it seems like part of modern-day Iran could possibly be along the border. The main settlements of ancient Babylonia was Barto, the whole right along there's a whole mountain range that goes down the whole region that's basically a border between Iran and Iraq. Right along that border area, right after the mountains end, there are many cities today in modern day Iraq. Every day there are suicide bombings. I mean the place is a Khorban.
Where the Tigris and Euphrates meet.
They meet. That area, Aram na Pumpedisa, Aram na Harayim, that area is Bavel. They know, I remember many years ago, I went to the Jewish Museum, the Living Museum, what is it called, the Living Museum, and Rabbi Deutsch, he's a brilliant person, he knows this, he lives this, he was very excited then, because that was like right after the second Persian Gulf War, and he said that as soon as things settle down, never happened, this is not when he settled down, he can't wait, he's going to go to Iraq, and he's going to explore Aram Naharayim. He's going to find the place where Avraham once lived. He's going to go all the biblical places. He's going to go and explore and discover. Okay, today, obviously, no one's going there. It's not too safe. There's nothing left. But one thing you have to appreciate, America doesn't understand this. There are multiple psukim in Tanakh that say that the land is cursed. The Babylonians are cursed forever. There is no one as in Tanakh, there is no one as evil as Nebuchadnezzar because he destroyed Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. And America doesn't think, well, that's possible. Yeah, so Iraq will go rebuild Iraq. We will go in there and dump in there $1 trillion, probably a lot more, and rebuild, and we'll have their oil, and we'll make a settlement. It'll never happen. It's cursed. If Hashem curses this land, curses these people for what they have done to Klal Yisrael, for destroying Hashem's Beis HaMikdash, for killing the Nevi'im, for destroying all what they destroyed, there are multiple psukim in Sefer Yirmiyah and in Sefer Yecheskel that describe Hashem's anger and Hashem's disappointment, and basically Hashem has issued curses.
Very interestingly enough, and it starts to say, B'nai this, they along the Beis HaMedrash, B'nai Haman, they were people who, then all of a sudden it mentions Nebuchadnezzar, and the Gemara says, don't go there. So don't even think it.
It's a third world country. They're living there in the same, they're living like barbarians, like it was in time of the Flintstones. Okay? That's what it is, and that's what's always going to be, because they're cursed. Why are they cursed? They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Modern countries, they don't understand that. They don't believe that. They think you can negotiate with them. You can negotiate with them. You can build. You can accomplish something there. You can't. The land is cursed. If Hashem cursed this land, stay away. Nothing will come from them. Cham, anyone that's a descendant of Cham, forget about. he's not on the same level as Bavel.
There's a Marshal in Gittin that talks about certain parts of the land that the Jew should avoid in his travels.
Bavel is one.
Yeah, and he also mentions Northern Europe. He says Germania shall Edom.
Edom, Edom.
Don't travel there.
Okay,
it's not a good place for a Jew to be.
I always, there's a very big debate. Always, do I have any desire to go to Auschwitz? Me personally, no. I have no desire. Give me a free ticket. No, I don't want to go. I have no desire. There are people that I know are chalashing to go. They want to go see. They want to go travel the whole Poland and go see all the shtetlach that was there.
To see is nothing, but to be there with a guide who's informed and clever.
No, with a guide that's informed and clever. Okay, so it depends. They're different. I always tell you about this.
People need that but the people who had close family or lived through it, but who had family that they lost, they don't need to see it.
The land is soaked in Jewish blood. It is soaked in Jewish. What are you going back there? It depends. I told you once. I'll always remember this. It was a Shalosh Shudis in my father's shul. It was after Tisha B'Av, and there was a person who got up to speak. My father always asked people who go on these exotic trips to speak by Shalosh Shudis and relate their exotic trip. And he spoke about he was in Auschwitz on Tisha B'Av. He went on a tour, and the tour was to go to different places in Poland and here and there. And the tour, they spent Tisha B'Av in Auschwitz. Okay, that was interesting, no?
Yeah.
So that, you know, you want to go hear a guest speaker and talk about that? I certainly would want to go hear what he has to say. And it was good. He was really, you know, he had what to say. It was very, and there was a person in the audience that was about the same age as this fellow. And he couldn't control himself. And in the middle of towards the end of his talk, he stood up and he basically said, "I don't understand for the life of me, what in the world are you going back to this place on Tisha B'Av? The place is soaked in Jewish blood. The horrors, the torture." And the other person said back, "No, it's important." And the other one says, basically like in disbelief, like, and it was a very telling, fascinating give and take. And obviously, Elu v'Elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are different types of people who have different life experiences. And you know, look, everyone knows that the Holocaust survivors themselves, kimat, didn't say one word until maybe the very end of their lives. They began to talk a little bit. The new generation today, everyone's running. They're running to go see. Well, they didn't experience the horror. They didn't know what was going on. But the people, Holocaust survivors, my grandparents, so one set of grandparents, not a word. My grandfather's brother, he jumped off the train. He was sent to Auschwitz. He jumped off the train. He went into a pit, freezing cold pit. He was a teenager, and a goy had rachmanis thrown potatoes in the pit. Had incredible yisurim. Whole family was wiped out, and he had a number. He was now, I don't know where he got the number. Maybe he was in Auschwitz. Maybe he jumped into him when he transported him somewhere. He had a number on his arm. My grandfather's brother, he has a beautiful family. He had five children, came to America. His wife was on a death march. A death march. She only survived because she stole someone's boots. They were marching on a death march, and she was literally, and she saw in the corner on someone's porch a pair of boots. And when they stopped and the Nazis, the Yimach Shem, weren't watching, she risked her life to go across the road and to steal the boots. And she had guilt her whole life that she stole someone's boots. And I mean, the stories are just unreal. He never, ever said a word about the horrors that he experienced. Never. He died with all the secrets.
Right.
And there are dime a dozen like this. Dime a dozen, and now.
It would be better if they spoke, but. Well,
I mean, you can't judge. All right, so this is, now over here we have Rochash. Go back to our topic. Rochash means Rachashon Sifase, murmuring. Okay, Cheshvan means, according to some of the Mefarshim, the Chodesh Cheshvan, besides the secular interpretation, but Cheshvan means that the month after. Tishrei, the nigunim, the melodies of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of Sukkot, the things that you've learned are still, they're still flowing off your lips, subconsciously. So therefore, Chazal saw in the title of the Chodesh, the eighth month of the year, Cheshvan, they saw Cheshvan comes from Ches and Shin, and it's related to the word Rochash, which means to murmur. Here we have it in its purest form, Rochash Libi Dovar Toiv. My heart is flowing, it is murmuring, it is fluctuating with Dovar Toiv, with good matters. Oimer Oni, I say the following, Maasai Lemelech, my composition, this is a beautiful expression. This, my Maasai Lemelech, Lishoini, my tongue, eight Sofer Mohir. It is very, very unique mizmar, in that there's an entire pasuk devoted as an introduction to my excitement to write the mizmar. Okay, the first pasuk tells you for the conductor, al shayshanim levnei karach masel. That's the first one. The first pasuk deals with, you know, the typical introduction of for the conductor and the musical instrument. And levnei karach maskil, a chiddush yesterday. Maskil means there should be an interpreter that should make sure people understand. Shir yididois. Okay, that's a tip. I mean, this, obviously this is unique. A lot of the things that we discussed yesterday, the first pasuk are unique to this mizmar. But that introduction is common in the many of the other mizmarim in this sefer. But this is totally off the charts. Pasuk Beis is now. The composer says, before I actually go and tell you what I want to say about the subject matter, I want to let you know how excited I am to compose this mizmar. There are other mizmar that I composed, I just sent it out. I want to give you hakdama to let you know my excitement. No, haloi davar, isn't that a fascinating a difference in this mizmar? Rochash libi davar toiv, my heart, is fluctuating. It's excited. It's there's a movement.
Awaken.
What?
Awaken.
Awake. Well, not really awaken. Rochash means it's
shachar.
To awaken. Okay, interesting. Here, interesting. It's your art. Chidushay Rabbi Mark. Okay, Mayor, you got competition here.
Skip the beat.
Kosher. Okay, so there is a movement. My heart, davar toiv. Omer ani, I say the following. Maasai. Now, maasai here, according to the mitzvah, this means my composition. It's an act of creativity. When I write a mizmor to tell you how I feel about the Melech HaMashiach, about Talmid Chacham, about the Sanhedrin, about Shlomo HaMelech getting married, it is a maaseh. It is like I'm building a building. This is a creative activity. There's a creativity in my writing, in my comedy. This is not just, you know, boring text. You know, you ever read the reviews of a book? Sometimes, you know, they always say is like I was reading a review on a book on Amazon, and all the comments are the topic is a very good topic, but the book is so boring. The writing, the style of writing is you can just die from the boredom. And even though the topic is a very important topic, like one person says, the whole thing can be summarized in a magazine article. The amount of the way it's presented, a whole book on this topic, which is a very important topic, it would have been a lot better if someone just summarized, a real person who knows how to write, would summarize the whole book in a magazine article of 2-3 pages, and that's all you need. And this, a whole thick book, bore you to death. What?
You want to share the
name of the book? No way. I said, Lashon Hara. I wouldn't tell you the name. I'll never figure out what this book is. On the web, whatever. So this is, he says, no, this is an act of creativity. This is not just a record, boring record. This is Maasai. I'm going to present you over here something that I'm proud of. There is creativity, there is talent. The composer is bragging a little bit. you know, this I'm proud of. I have a lot of different books, but this book, this is what makes me happy. This accomplishment. Ma'asai lemelech. Now, what's the melech? So if you learn very simply, according to the Mitzudois and according to most of the Mefarshim, the Melech HaMashiach. All the other Mefarshim are going to have to really struggle. They're going to have to struggle. Because if you learn like the Mitzudois of Ma'asai lemelech, it means that my composition is for the Melech. And I'm referring over here to a composition describing the beauty of the Melech HaMashiach. Wonderful. But if you can learn like the Targum that says we're dealing with the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Ma'asai lemelech. It's in honor of the melech. You want to say it means Moshe? Vayhi v'shulim melech? Maybe. It's a little bit of a stretch. If you want to go say referring to Talmidei Chacham, so when it says melech, what does that mean? Man malke rabbonon? All right. You know, you can drush is drush. You know, when you say drush, you got to, you know, you can say whatever you want, Amos and Allah drush, but you know, if you want to learn pshat, the one who's going to get the award here for pshat is going to be the Mitzudois and whoever in the Radak who says that the subject of this mizmor is the Melech HaMashiach, because it says here straight out Ma'asai LaMelech. If you want to say it first to Shloima HaMelech when he got married, when he got married, so also Ma'asai LaMelech when Shlomo in honor of his marriage to the daughter of the king of Tsar. Okay, so Taka makes sense. Melech. L'shayni, this is a very beautiful expression, my tongue is like an 8 sofer mohir. You have to read it backwards. Hebrew, that's our problem. We have such a difficult time with Siddur and with Mr. Merlis. Why do we have such a hard time understanding what it says in the Siddur? You said today, Hallel, you read the Mizmorim, because we've been trained to read everything linear, in order, word after word. Like you read a newspaper. But that's not the way Hebrew is. Hebrew is, there are expressions, and it's a puzzle. And you don't translate the words in your mind in order. You have to translate the words.
We have, in English, we have adjectives before the noun. In Spanish and other languages, the adjective is after the noun.
Right. It's more complex. It's more, much more complex. Well, Hebrew is even more complex, because there are no rules in Hebrew. There really are no rules. Sometimes it's before, sometimes it's after. Sometimes you have a whole pasuk and you have to go take the whole pasuk and you have to take the words and mix them up and translate them into English. Right. Also, in the Siddur, you have a collection of all different types.
Also, biblical Hebrew, that's a narrative.
Exactly. But even in the narratives, there's always a mix. Even in the narratives, you get into complicated situations. So over here is a simple example. L'shoni 8 sofer mohir. I mean, you can't just read this, translate this literally. You have to rearrange the words. My tongue is like the pen of a brilliant scribe. See, you have the adjective. Expert scribe. The word mohir in English, you put in English, you said the adjective goes before the noun. So in English, you would write lishoni. And also, you're missing in these psukim, these expressions, prefixes. Or you're missing some of the words which make it flow. With the psukim, they throw at you words and expect for you to fill in, you know, the missing words or missing prefix which allow it to flow better. My tongue is equivalent. It doesn't say here equivalent. It doesn't say there's no chof adimyoin. Lishoni, it should say in our vocabulary, we would write ki. Where's the chof adimyoin? Where's the chaf adimyon? Doesn't exist here. Ki'et, and we would say in English, a mohir sofer. It doesn't sound good. Like a brilliant and expert scribe. But these expressions are difficult expressions, but that's the point. But over here is that over here it's a kilu, it says a chaf, and we're saying that my tongue, what I'm about to say to you now is I've been gifted with the ability to write eloquently. Everyone knows there are people who know how to write, and people, okay, it's not everyone gets a Pulitzer Prize for the koyach of writing. It's an incredible talent, and speaking is a different talent. This pasuk we should appreciate is a fascinating pasuk, because everyone knows that the gift of speaking, orator, is very different than the gift of writing. the way you write is not the way you speak. It's a whole different set of rules. The way when you speak, there's the inflection, there is an excitement, there is emotion, there is a setting. When you write, it's different. It's a whole different world. I don't have the words. I don't know. I'm not a... And here, what's amazing in this pasuk to appreciate, David HaMelech, who wrote this mizmar, we assume, is combining together the koyach hadibur with the koyach of ksiva, of writing. It's an incredible thing, because they're totally different worlds. And I'm saying that my koyach hadibur is like a writer, a person who is known, renowned for his ability to write. Many of the best writers, they can't speak. They give a speech, marbles, they talk with marbles in their mouth. And even if they talk clearly, it's not exciting. Like I once heard a Nobel Prize winner. Okay, he spoke. Nothing to talk about. It wasn't too exciting. But obviously, his writings, his research, what he wrote and what he did is obviously, he won the Nobel Prize. Okay, who wins the Nobel Prize? It's a different talent. And here, David HaMelech is saying he's synthesizing the two together. That is awesome. No one has everything. Doesn't exist. Everyone, Hashem gives every person their little niche in life. No one has everything. Torah u'gedula b'makom echad doesn't exist. And here David is saying, look, communication is the ultimate gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ability to, that's life. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chayim. What's very interesting is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and the definition of life is to communicate through dibur. What about communicating through writing, through sign language? Rabbi Eliezer deals with the deaf. Okay, so the way they communicate is not through dibur, it's not through writing. I mean, writing, but it's sign language. Unbelievable, a whole different way of communication. Unbelievable. Yet it's interesting when it says in the pasuk, "Vayehi ha'adam lenefesh chaya." So, a man was a living spirit. If you don't have the targum, you don't have anything. What would you do? You just whatever. Living spirit. Targum says, a spirit who speaks. L'ruach mimalila. Ooh, look at that. Targum is mechadesh. The koyach of life is the ability to communicate through speech. Wait a minute. Why only speech? If the koyach of life is the ability, if the emphasis is to communicate, so why can't the targum say, a man was a creature who communicates. I don't know what the word is. You have to find what the proper word would be. Because anyway, the Targum is not translating the word to me literally. Anyway, he's speaking in metaphors. So why in the world of communication is it the koyach of speech and not the koyach of writing or body language? There's body language. Are there any other forms of communication? Mental telepathy? We have Aquaman here. There's a koyach of communication. Yet the Targum says the koyach of communication is dibur. That haloi davar. Why? Okay. Why? Well, ancient times, many people did not know how to write. It's a fact. In ancient times, many people today also, unfortunately, but in ancient times, it was a privilege. It was a very big bracha if you knew how to write and read. Many people, the only thing they can do is they can communicate through dibur.
Only the privilege were educated.
Exactly. We have tremendous bracha today. Today, education, government pays. Every person who wants to learn how to read and write. There's money out there.
It's private school.
Okay, but okay, vouchers.
They want to learn to read and write.
You have to want. In everything in life, you have to want. But it's available. If you want, it's available. Ancient times, it wasn't. Even if you want, it wasn't available. So this is a very interesting idea. You're putting the two together. Let's go to another pasuk, Gimel. Yafisa mibnei Adam, you are the most beautiful. Over here, there's a repetition of like yirakrak or yadamdam. When you take a word and you repeat its syllables, it connotes an intensity. So you have, let's say you have, again, it was Yorok. What color is Yorok? Green? Is it yellow? Is it somewhere in between? It all depends on the context. Esther Yirak Rakoisa. Esther was green. She was environmentally friendly. Her platform or political platform was net zero. Nothing is new. Ein chodesh tachas hashemesh. Chazal say Yirak Rakoisa. Okay. Look, if she was blue, they would say she was a Democrat. If she was red. Esav, what's so bad with Esav? He was a Republican. Adam Dam. He was a Republican. Al-Kain Karashma Edoim. They called him a Republican. Okay, so Yafisa, the word Adam Dam means an intensity of red. Yirakrak is an intensity of green. So when it says over there, Yafisa, it's Yaf. When you repeat the syllable, it means that you are exquisitely beautiful. Who's the subject? Talmidei Chachamim, or the Melech HaMashiach, or Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, you are exquisitely beautiful, Mibnei Adam, more so than any other man in this world. Hutzak Chen Bisif Soisecha, it is poured. Chen, grace. Chen is one of the most impossible words to translate. Chen has the most translations of any word in the Bible. Chen means, it comes from Matnas Chinam. You can't put your finger on it. It's free. It's a trait that a person has, a gift. Chen, why do you like this person? Tell me why. Because he's nice? He's not so nice. Because he's rich? There are a lot of rich people. Because he's poor? There are a lot of poor. What do you like about him?
As I've said before, the French have a term for it. A certain je ne sais quoi, which in your language means effaceless.
You don't know, for whatever reason. That's interesting. That's very good what you're saying. You don't know why. Chain is, there's a certain favor a person has in your eyes. Trait. And in this realm, you just somehow, it's like almost spiritual. It's your neshama is connected to this person, whether you like it or not. And you can't explain why.
My intuition.
What?
That's why it says, Venoach Matzah Chain, and we don't know what it is.
Wait.
Intuition.
Intuition is more of seichel. I don't know, whatever it is. The word chayin is a very hard word to translate and over here, but one thing that is very interesting is that in this context, it says the word grace. Okay, but you know, there are many words. Grace only is one dimension of why you like that person. Here is the interesting point that it's associated with the word hutzak, which means to pour. What does that mean? You pour chayin. We learned before in the previous mizmar that the neshama is also it's like a liquid. The neshama, we use terminology relating to the neshama as if the neshama is a liquid. It goes to, you know, it's poured out. The neshama is poured out. Whoever said that neshama is a liquid, most people would think with the most you would connect the neshama is to gas. Okay, because gas is something which you can't touch, you can't see, you can't feel, and it's there. A liquid, as mamoshos, we called in the previous mizmor, we gave it the terminology surrounding a neshama was a liquid. And here again, he's doing the same thing. The chayin, he's calling it hutzak, means the poor chayin, besif soisech in your lips, alkein, therefore, berachta elokim, what's the alkein, therefore? Because you're exquisitely beautiful, more so than Bnei Adam, and there's chayin besif soisech, alkein, therefore, berachach elokim liel mashem has blessed you forever. Let's do one more pasuk. Chagor charbucha al yorech gibor. Then David says, he gives him a command. Gird your sword upon your thigh. Gibor, you mighty man. Let's assume now we're referring to the Melech HaMashiach. Hoitcha, the sword that you put on your side, it is your glory. Fahadorecha, two words which for our purposes mean the same thing. Hoid and hadar. What's the chilek hoid v'hadar? Not for now, for Chanukah time, whatever those two different words which basically mean the same thing, it is your glory. So over here, in this pasuk, Gimel and Dal, that we are describing over here, the beauty, let's assume, of the Melech HaMashiach, he is the most, is exquisitely beautiful, more so than any other man. He has the koyach ha-dibor. He has the ability, his koyach ha-dibor is exquisite, and we're telling him, take up arms. take up arms, put a sword, a cheref, not a bow and arrow, but a cheref, which is the tool of Esav, on your thigh. You're a gibor, and this is your beauty. This is a description of the Melech HaMashiach. These are the Siman Mufakim. When the Melech HaMashiach will come, we're going to have to know, is this the Melech HaMashiach? People have to say by the Melech HaMashiach, according to the Mitzudah, it's according to the Radak. When you see the Melech HaMashiach, you need Simanim. What are the Simanim that this person is the Melech HaMashiach? Number one, he has to be a handsome man. Beautiful. What does beautiful mean? Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. What does beautiful mean? Exquisitely beautiful. Number two, he has to have the Koyach HaDibur. A communicator. He's a communicator with eloquence. And he's also a soldier. He's a soldier. Take up a sword upon your thigh. This is your arms, your ability to fight and to bear arms. Assault weapons. This is your God-granted right. You have a sword.
If you're a minute, the Melech HaMashiach is a descendant of David. I would say that David describes here himself.
He's describing himself.
It fits to a Maasai fits to a king. A king. Rishoni Etzofer, who daber al atzmo, on himself. Who matza chen beinei, kol Am Yisrael loved him, except Shaul. And then he was a Hebrew also.
He's describing himself. David HaMelech is describing himself. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. David in true, he's describing himself to a large degree in this pasuk of it. Absolutely. Okay, so now obviously you're going to say that, you know, don't take these words literally. Okay, there were many candidates. We know many candidates in world history that could be Mashiach. And I don't think every candidate that could have been Melech Mashiach was viewed as being beautiful, physically beautiful. And not every Melech person that was a candidate in Jewish history to be Melech Mashiach was eloquent, had the Koyach HaDibur, and not everyone even knew how to operate a weapon. So what are you going to answer? That these words are not meant to be taken literally, they're figuratively. These are figurative expressions, is that they communicate to the tzibur in other ways. Their beauty is in their midos, in their koyach hatzvila, and their sword is their koyach haTorah. Is l'chu lacham u'b'lachami, milchamtoy shel Torah. So, you know, you can say whatever you want to go say. This over here, according to the Radak, is a description, the qualifications that we're looking for on a resume of a candidate to be the Melech HaMashiach. He has to be beautiful. He has to have the koyach haDibur, and he has to be a military experience. Military has to have gone to the Tzahal. He has to have
charisma. I think that's the main word.
Chutzak chen bisvay. It says lips in his koyach haDibur. It doesn't say chen. It says v'noyach motza chen b'nei Hashem. It doesn't say that his chen was in his koyach haDibur. Here it says chutzak chen b'sif soy secha. There is chen in your koyach haDibur. So obviously there are different types of chen. So these are the three qualifications to be. Anyone over here want to submit their resume? Does anyone here have these three qualifications? Military experience. You have to know how to fly an F-35. Okay, and you have to have an orator, a world-renowned orator. And you have to be exquisitely beautiful. Can anyone fulfill those conditions? Did anyone in the past of Jewish history fulfill those? Did Bar Kokhba fulfill those conditions? Rabbi Akiva felt that he was a candidate to be the Melech HaMashiach. Did he fit those conditions? Well, obviously he did. What exactly are these words? Are these words to be taken literally? Or are these words metaphors? Is a sword literally military experience? So maybe it's a metaphor for the Melchamta Shel Torah. When it says there's chein b'sif soitzecha, does that mean you have to have a beautiful vocabulary and know 70 languages and be able to wow your listeners? Or it means you know how to communicate, you know how to get the message across one way or another. And when it says you're beautiful, it's beauty in midos toivos, beauty in your koyach hatzfila, as we discussed last week and Friday, all day one means yofi. Okay, let's see the route. Let's see the mitzvahs. I'll tell you maybe one vart, and then we're gonna have a treat today. Rav Mordechai, it's getting later. Rav Mordechai Mintz is going to have a sequel to the sequel of Rivka. I started a firestorm. I said something that people were not so satisfied with, and then Rav Kalman fixed it up. He was mashlim, and now Rav Mordechai Mintz is going to say, is going to give us his understanding in a few moments. Just do over the mitzudos, because I want to just be mashed on this, at least this. Let's do over the mitzudos on page, back on page 400. Okay, rochash inyan tenua v'nid nud. Word rochash means movement. Uvinim v'chazal ko merachashon sif v'osei. The lips, oh, I'm reading the wrong, I'm sorry, I'm reading the mitzudos siyon. I'm sorry, I'm reading the David. And Mitzudas David, page 400. My heart is contemplating, is thinking about good things. Next page, page 403 in the Mitzudas David, as I begin to tell you what I think about the Melech HaMashiach, I want everyone to know that ani oimer shemaaseh hashir hazehu al melech hamashiach. Everyone should know that this composition that I'm calling a creation, this mizmor is my creation, my hard work. Is the topic is the melech. Who is the melech? Mitzudois, one of five perushim, is the melech hamashiach. Lishoni, my tongue ate sofer mohir. Lishoni mihira ledaber b'shir, is swift. Is swift to speak. Where do you get the word swift? I don't know where you got the word swift from. Mihira. But where does that come? But he goes on to say, Shall Sofer Mohir. Mohir means brilliant.
That's the expert.
Expert. But then he says the word Mohir twice. Lishoni Mihira. Lidaber Bashir. I'm assuming the word mihira, what does that word mihira mean in the Mitzudas David? It means my tongue is brilliant or my tongue is swift? I don't know, maybe it means both. Okay, my tongue is brilliant or swift?
Articulate.
That's what I mean, that's what I mean. Articulate. Lidaber b'shir, ke'eit, like the pen. The eight, the pen, shall soifer mohir of a brilliant... Right, so I told you this is very unique. I told you this mizmor is doing something that is awesome. It is combining their completely different worlds. To the koyach hadibur and the koyach of writing are different worlds. Very rarely will you find a person that can do both. There are some rabbis that have incredible oratory skills, but they're not known to publish books that are bestsellers. The ideas in the book are brilliant, but it takes a lot, to then there are people that know how to write. They really know how to write well. And you think, it's very common, people that... Different skills. It's very common, people they go and they're looking for public speakers for all different events. And they're very famous.
Powers and residents are not necessarily interesting.
Exactly. These are people, they're world-renowned for their publications, for their work. So you imagine that if you're going to invite them to be a scholar in residence and they're going to give a speech, they're going to wow the people. And very often, you're very disappointed. The person is a he authored a book that's a bestseller. He comes and speaks publicly. I can't hear what he said. I don't understand what he's talking about.
When you're writing, it takes time.
Exactly. It's a different skill set.
When you're writing, it takes you 10 minutes to write a paragraph. And someone has to read it for 10 minutes. You're not going to read a paragraph for 10 minutes.
It's a different skill set. It's a whole different world. You can't come, and yet, look what this pasuk does. This pasuk says that my tongue is equivalent to a scribe, a brilliant scribe. We are synthesizing the talent of Dibur with the talent of writing. And that is unbelievable. Unbelievable, extremely rare. No one has it all. There's no such thing as having it all in this world. And the problem is people think they could have it all. The rule is always, a little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing.
So a person thinks he's going to develop his chech.
Jack of all trades, master.
Master of none. So if a person is, yeah.
I know my father-in-law, Zichron Livracha, Rav Aharon Dachwitz, was the great speaker, was unbelievable. And he also tell me, you know, the Arishon, you have to have an aim. What do you want? The message. And here we said, Rachash Yibi Jabarto. I know, I have an idea. So then if I know exactly what is my purpose.
You need a message.
Then it's easy.
Oh, you're saying it's Sofa Moriot. It goes easy, it flows. If you're just thumping, you have nothing to say.
It's no problem. I can write it. I can.
You need to know your destination. Absolutely.
You used to say the same sentence 5 times you used to speak in Yiddish, tremendously. In five different ways, the same idea. And so brilliantly. Jacobson is the same way, the same style. Great speaker, and he gives you the message and here, Bahir.
The professionals. Yes. Absolutely. Okay, let's just finish very quickly on the mitzvahs of it, and then we'll hear of Mordechai. Oimer Arniki Lashoni Soifimar Pasal Gimel Mitzvahs Yafisa. You're beautiful. Look what he writes over here. You see the Mitzvah Stavit, he right away apologized. When it says you're beautiful, it does not mean physical beauty. You're beautiful in deeds, in Maisim Toivim. Because of this, Hashem has blessed you forever. Chagor, v'zois habrok. Oh, so this is very, very, very good. The Mitzudas David over here says that Pasek Dalit is the blessing. Because you are beautiful in deeds, you've worked very hard on yourself, and you have the blessing of the Koyach HaDibur, your words, I guess it means that you've worked on yourself to say over good things, therefore I give you a blessing. What is the blessing? You should be accepted in the army. David is talking. David is saying about the Melech HaMashiach that because you have good deeds and because you say nice things, therefore the reward is that you should be blessed with getting a good weapon. Chagor, Charbecha, we call it Melech HaMashiach. We want to reward you for your good, for your hard work. An assault rifle. We want to give you a weapon. That's what it says. I'm not making this up here. This is the bracha. Chagor, v'zoy sabrocha. Atagibur, Chagor. It will be your splendor and your glory. With this weapon, you will conquer the nations in battle. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Rav Mordechai, before we break, I want to hear Rav Mordechai is going to say some chidushim.
Just 1 second. We get a mazel tov to Rav Yaakov Diamond and a great grandson born this week.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
My granddaughter's name is. Today's yours as a commander.
Can I say just a little anecdote? My wife had a friend whose granddaughter was not behaving in school. So they called the mother came to school, and he asked the daughter, why aren't you behaving? She was doing it. And he says, well, the teacher said that Ripka got married at 3 years old. I can't believe that. Why should I listen to her?
My wife.
You see how people interpret things.
My wife was teaching the kids, and she said, make a picture of the party. Kid made a picture of a guy in a long beard pushing the baby chair. Tomorrow are 2 important yahrzeits for Baron Kotler and Rabbi Dover.
Oh.
Each one claims that a first Rosh Hashiva. We know who it was.
Okay, thank you for your attention and Bereshus, our wonderful Magid Shir, Rabbi Levine.